and now Evangelist David Shannon.
If you will open your Bibles to Daniel, the 12th chapter. Daniel, the 12th chapter. We will conclude our study through the book of Daniel this morning. I hope you've enjoyed them and have learned from them. Let's remember this week, a week when we will be very busy, perhaps, and have a lot of other things on our mind. Let's remember to pray. We have several sick that we should be praying for. We will have several on the roads that could use our prayers. And let's remember to do that. Let's also remember that there will not be a bulletin this week or the week of New Year's. I think that's something that's been kind of a tradition or whatever here at East Gaston for several years. I believe it was Brother Franklin Camp that said people just don't read bulletins the last 2 weeks of the year. So we will not have those the last two. Really, this year it's falling kind of the last week of this year and the first week of next year is the way it'll pretty much be. Daniel, the 12th chapter, is a chapter that we can learn so very much from. Even though there are things in the 12th chapter, just as the other chapters, we cannot understand everything of this chapter. We begin by looking at the first couple of verses, and we see in these verses that it is speaking of the resurrection. Remember, Daniel at times is very discouraged. And so this is hope for Daniel, that there is a day coming when everyone will be resurrected and that everyone will receive according to what they have done. We see in verse 3 and 4 that there are those that will receive great stars because they have won and they have won others to the wisdom of God. We see in verse 4 that there are those that have increased in knowledge. We see 5 and following that Daniel is able to see somewhat like it will be in the end of time. As we go on over towards the end of the chapter, verses 11 and 12 are verses that we have a hard time understanding. It's hard to understand exactly in our day and time what Daniel probably could have understood in that day and time by reading the 3,305 days that the end would be. Perhaps that was speaking of the end of some of those kingdoms that had been prophesied of in other chapters. But there is one thing that we can understand very clearly, and that's the promise that is certain in verse 13. But go thou thy way to the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days. Now think about that. That's not just the close of a chapter, that's the close of the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, where Daniel had suffered such great hardships. He had felt the guiltiness of his nation and he had sat down in the ashes and he had began the process of mourning. This is the Daniel that had been sent to the lion's den. This is the Daniel that over and over he cried out, "Help me understand." And it took an angel to come down and to tell him what his dreams meant. And now this Daniel receives in the very end the words, "Be strong. The end is coming. And in that end, there will be a lot for you." Today, as we close the book of Daniel, I hope you will remember the reason for the book of Daniel and the reason for Revelation was not to confuse us. Many think that those books were written just to confuse us, just to make us believe that we can't understand the Bible. They were both written for one common goal. They were written to a group or to a people that was suffering hardships, and it was saying, "Be strong to the end." Because there's a day coming when all those that are righteous will have the victory in Christ. It doesn't matter what kind of beast rise out of the earth, there's a day coming when all will fall down and worship God. This morning, if you will, look back to the second verse. The second verse is that promise that was given to Daniel, and the same promise is given to us today. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt." And many of them that sleep. Now this sleep that is mentioned here is not a sleep as you and I might do tonight or perhaps even this afternoon. This is a sleep that is mentioned in Job, where it's speaking of physical death. This is a sleep that's mentioned in Acts. It's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15. Several times in the Word of God, the word sleep is instead of the word death. Here, many are going to die. What does that imply to Daniel? Why does Daniel want to know about death? Doesn't that imply also a rest? Now let's think for a moment. We just went over a few of the things that Daniel had went through in the past few years. Don't you know that Daniel was ready for a rest? Don't you know that he was weary? You know, perhaps the best way to illustrate this point is to just look over in the life of some of the New Testament characters. If you will, turn to Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians, the third chapter. Let's notice a few things about the life of Paul out of just a few of his quotes in various places in his writings. Notice in the third chapter, verse 8 and 9, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Paul, what are you saying? He says, "I've given up everything. I've given up everything, everything to follow God. If it means suffering a loss, I've suffered the loss. If it means giving up part of self, I've given up self. As a matter of fact, anything that is not for the cause of Christ, anything that is contrary to the cause of Christ, I count it worth waste. Human, animal, waste. That's what I count it," Paul says. He says, "Everything in my life." Now think about this, brethren. Everything is for the cause of Christ. Now with that in mind, think of the rest. Surely Paul must have looked forward to that day when he could simply rest. Look with me also in the third chapter, verse 16, 17. "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." Paul, what are you saying? He says we all need to be walking toward God. We all need to have the same mind, the mind of Jesus Christ. And then, in a sense, he puts himself out on a limb. He says, if you're having problem with it, watch me. He's already said, "I'm giving up everything." He's already said, "I'm doing everything I can to follow." And he says, "Now if you're having a problem with it, you watch me. I'm following Christ. Let's walk together. Let's have the same mind." Why do we bring that out at this point? Because it takes work. It takes a daily effort. How many of us are ready to say to our children, "Son, daughter, you watch me every day and every night. You watch me. Because I want us together to go to heaven." How many of us are ready to say to our spouse, husband, wife, "You watch me every day, every night. I want us to be of like mind, and I have the mind of Christ, and I want us together to go to heaven." How many of us are ready to say to our parents, "You watch me. I'm a Christian, and I want us to act as Christ should. Follow my example." How many of us are ready to say to those we work with, to those that we do things with, "You watch me. Be of the same mind that I am of, because I want us to be Christ-like." The truth is, brethren, it takes work. If I'm going to have that spirit about me, that is a spirit that does not rest, day and night, day after day, I'm serving the Lord. If I have that attitude, I truly have that attitude, I'm going to understand just a little bit more of how nice it is to be able to rest. An attitude that says, "I've worked hard. I'm ready to relax a little bit. I'm ready to rest." upon my death. Also, if you will, turn with me to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. We have two verses that we've heard over and over in our life. But I want us to look at these two verses, but then to look why Paul is saying this at this point. 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 7, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." What's Paul saying? He's saying, "I'm ready to rest." Now notice, Paul didn't rest while he was alive. What he's saying is, when that comes, I am ready to rest. I'm ready to go on whenever that time is here. I'm ready. That's what Paul is saying. Paul, why do you bring this up here in the 6th and 7th verse? Notice what's on his mind. Start out verse 1. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing of His kingdom." So this is the subject. There's a day coming. And Timothy, you preach the Word. You be instant in season, out of season. Timothy, you reprove, you rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they have heaped to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears, and the truth shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, enduring afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And it's almost like that reminds him. Once he goes through that list of things that Timothy is to be, it's almost as if it reminds him of what he has done in his life. And he says, "I'm now ready to be offered." Brethren, this morning, if we are not doing these works, if we are not daily striving to be the Christian, the Christ-like person that we should be, we're not going to understand verse 6 and 7. We're not going to understand, why is Paul saying, "I'm ready to go on"? Perhaps it's because we have too much energy. Perhaps it's because we have not exerted energy in serving God. You see, probably the most truest way to describe Paul's feelings at this point is for Paul to say, "I have worn myself out for the service of Christ. I am fatigued. I am miserable in pain and anguish because I have served till I feel like I can't serve anymore. I'm ready to be offered." This morning, how does that compare to our life? Can we look at Daniel, the 12th chapter in verse 2, where it speaks of having that sleep, and we truly think, "I'm ready for that sleep. I'm tired. I'm working hard for the Lord. Anytime the Lord's ready, I'm ready to rest. I'm ready to relax. I'm tired of worrying about my spiritual soul, making sure every moment that I'm living as I should. I'm tired of being concerned about everyone else's spiritual soul." And the truth is, as long as we're alive, that is our obligation. It's to love souls, to love our own, to love others, and to have that concern. But the truth is, it makes us tired. Wasn't it Paul the one that said that all of the problems of the church worry him? They're a burden to him? This day, let us look at the life of Paul. Let us think of what Peter said when he said, "Be sober, be vigilant." Why? "Because your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." What's Peter saying? He says it takes us being on our toes every day. Be sober every day. Be vigilant. Be prepared. Be ready. Brethren, if we are truly that, it won't take very long before we'll have the attitude of Paul. "I want to rest. I've done my work." Now, of course, we should not grow weary in well-doing to the point that we stop before the judgment day or before our death. But nevertheless, we can understand better what is being communicated in Daniel, the 2nd chapter, the 12th chapter, verse 2. You know, this past evening I was driving back from Memphis, and it rained almost all of the way, and Tracy and I were talking about a trip that we'll probably be making sometime in the next year. And the only way we could figure to make that length of trip with two babies is to drive all night. And that way maybe they would be asleep. We lived up on Long Island. We'd drive all night several times, and that really gets old quick. You know, you start hitting a hard spot at about 12 or 1 o'clock. If you get you a Mountain Dew and some M&Ms and some bubble gum, you can make it through that part. But then comes about 3:30 to 4:30. And after being up all night, those are hard hours right there. You know, you don't have to tell your arms that they're tired. You don't have to tell your eyes, now listen, eyes, you've been awake all night, you're tired. And when you finally stop to rest, you don't have to say, now feet, we're going to rest right now, and you're probably tired, so you just rest with the rest of the body. It's all understood. Your eyes are burning for a good reason. Your body feels fatigued for a good reason. Why? Because it is tired. Brethren, this morning there's not a soul here that can understand what is being communicated to Daniel at this point if we have not been spiritually tired. We can't understand it. But if there's those here this morning that have been spiritually tired, we can understand why in the last chapter it says to Daniel that there will be those that sleep. That's beautiful. That's not negative. Even though it's speaking of physical death, it's not negative. That is very beautiful. That's the time when Daniel can finally let down after carrying the burden of his nation, after serving the Lord so faithful. Finally now, he can rest. This morning, I ask you before we move on to point number 2, do you have anything to rest from today? Be honest with yourself. Do you have anything to rest from? If someone come up to you this day and said, stop your spiritual work, just stop it, what would you be resting from? If we have nothing to rest from, we can't appreciate this day. And that's just the beginning of this day, because notice what happens next. Verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. There's going to be an awakening. There's going to be that great day that once we finally have that rest, we're also going to have an awakening. Now this is going to be an awakening that we're all going to know of. It's not going to come as something that some will miss and some will receive. We're all going to have this awakening. Hebrews 9:27 states it, for it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. That's the awakening. We also look at 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. If you will, turn with me there. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, is a rather lengthy chapter, but yet the entire chapter is about this awakening. We could read verses 1 through 11 of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and it speaks of this great awakening that Jesus Christ made. Notice with me about verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, now say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead. But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ not be risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. What is he saying? There's no reason for us to be here today. No reason at all if we believe that there's not going to be that day of awakening, that day of resurrection, that day when we will rest, but then we will rise. Our soul will not be dead. Our soul will just be living for an eternity, the beginning of an eternity. And he says, if you can't believe that, you can't believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, if you can't believe that, you have no reason to even worship God. And the rest of the chapter, all 58 verses, are about the fact that there is a resurrection. There is a day coming. Now today, most in America go either two ways. They live for that day, or they don't. Now the ones that don't may do it by simply ignoring it, may do it simply as ignorance. They don't even know the day's coming. But for whatever reason, we're either living for that day or we're not. This morning, I need to think. I need to think long and hard
Am I working? Do I have anything to rest from? And am I preparing for that day? Because once that day of death comes, next will be the day of awakening. But notice the final part of this last verse, this Daniel 12:2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. I don't think there's any better way to describe those two last phrases in one scripture than Luke the 16th chapter. Luke the 16th chapter gives a description of both of those. The ones that have the everlasting life is described by Lazarus, the beggar. You remember him? He ate the crumbs off the rich man's table. What does it say about him? It says that he was escorted by angels into everlasting life. And in the same verse that it says the rich man was tormented, you know what it says about the beggar? It says he was comforted. This morning, we need to realize there's a beautiful part of eternity in having that everlasting life. We're going to be with God. We're going to be with Jesus, the Holy Spirit. We're going to be accompanied by angels. We're going to be with all the good souls that have ever lived on the face of this earth. Good in the sense they've been obedient to God. But there's not much to look forward to having the contempt, to having the shame that is described in Daniel 12. You see, those are the ones that will finally respect the ones that have obeyed. You remember what the rich man asked of Lazarus? On earth, the rich man would have probably never asked Lazarus for anything. But now on that side of eternity, he says, let him go back. Let him go back and tell my father and his family. And you know what Abraham answers? No. Why? Brethren, that's the time of rest. The work is over then. There's no one on that side of eternity that can come back and do more work. What does that tell me? If I want to be concerned with how I rest, I better be concerned now with how I work. Why? Because there's a day coming when we will be awakened again. And that day will have only two options. The options will be those that have everlasting life and those that wish they had everlasting life. This morning, I close by reading to you the 10th verse. Many shall be purified, made white, and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. Which are you? Have you been purified by the blood of Christ? You've heard the gospel, you believe it. Repent of your sins. Turn away from those sins. Come forward, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be purified, baptized to wash those sins away. But notice, it didn't just say purified, it said made white and tried. There may be someone here this morning that's been made white, but yet when they were tried, at some time perhaps we gave in. Perhaps we have been pulled away because of temptation. This morning, if you're not ready to rest with the Lord, respond to the invitation as we stand, as we sing.